Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. I'm Dr. Ayan Panja, and each week I'll give you honest and refreshing perspectives to help you put health into context. There's so much health information out there, it can be confusing. People have even asked me to be their personal medical advisor. Well, this is the next best thing. Now, on with the episode. Today, I'd like to talk about addiction. Addiction, what does that word mean to you? Well, it's interesting. I was looking online to find a definition that I could relate to. And I quite like the one on the NHS website, which is this. Addiction is defined as not having control over doing, taking, or using something to the point where it could be harmful to you. I'm just going to go over that again. Not having control over doing, taking, or using something to the point where it could be harmful to you. Not having control. Interesting. Okay, so that's what it is in terms of describing someone who has an addiction. They don't have control over whatever it is. Alcohol, drugs, working too hard, smoking. It can be lots of things, can't it? But I'm much more interested in why they occur in the first place. Where do they come from? And the answer is, it comes from experiences, events in our life. Now, some of them might be from childhood, and some of them might be from a bit later in life. And in order to understand addictions, we need to understand a little bit about the biology of stress. And a bit later on, I'm going to come on to why addictions occur in the first place, but the person who's addicted to a substance, let's take alcohol, for example, or cannabis, or even some of the harder drugs like heroin, what they're all doing is having a psychoactive effect on our brain, and they affect the pathways that are linked to stress. So I often talk in many other episodes about monkey brain and our mesolimbic system, which is part of the brain that's involved in reward and pleasure, and this neurotransmitter called dopamine, which is involved in cravings or the kind of desire to repeat a behavior, that sort of addictive behavior. And this is part of the brain's reward system or the reward circuit. Now, what's interesting is there's also an anti-reward circuit. And although when an addiction is forming, the reward circuit is key, and all of us know what this feels like on a, even if we don't have addictions, but you know what it's like when you're craving something or you eat something like, I don't know, a donut, something that's very blissy, and you want more of it. But the anti-reward system, which is essentially what kind of puts the brakes on the reward system, so stops us getting into that cycle of addiction. And with addictions, or even conditions like chronic pain, that anti-reward system essentially doesn't do its job. And the reason is essentially to do with something called allostatic overload, which is a bit like an overload of stress responses, which can happen over a period of time. And so, you know, the steady state, when things are all well and good, when we have appropriate homeostasis, this sort of steady state, equilibrium kind of position, because you're functioning physiologically well, you know, in most of us, our neurotransmitters like dopamine and all those reward pathways are working appropriately. It's when we're stressed or when there's some dysfunction in those pathways, that's when things start to go wrong. And that's when that pang for addiction really kicks in. Now, let's go back to the beginning. So what makes someone pick up a cigarette or try alcohol or decide that they want to try cocaine or heroin or opiates? How does that work? Why does that happen? And there is, this is fascinating to me because, you know, still to this day, I maintain, as someone who's done both of these things, and I still drink alcohol, although less than I used to, alcohol and cigarettes do not taste nice. They don't when you first try them. And they don't now. It's just that the more you do those things, the more you get used to them. And so you start to associate them with something, you know, like cigarette smokers often will have to have one after a meal. I know certainly for me as someone who has drunk lots of wine in the past, that I very much associate foods with wine. It's like, oh, we're having fish tonight, so it's white wine or whatever it is, you know. So a lot of associations creep in. But actually, when you first try them, you know, I challenge anyone to try any of those kinds of things and say that they actually like it from the get-go. You know, and that's why you hear these phrases like, well, it's an acquired taste. Yeah, right. I mean, sugar's different because of evolutionary reasons. We are hardwired to like the taste of sweet things. But going back to cigarettes and alcohol, you know, the more I've looked into this, you know, when you look at the history of alcohol, for example, it's been around for thousands of years in all sorts of cultures, in parts of the world that don't, well, are not meant to kind of consume alcohol anymore, culturally speaking. But even there, there's stories of some kind of medieval wine. But why? And really, you know, on a very shallow level, it's about escape. But on a deeper level, it's about escape from pain and suffering. That is what addiction is really about. And by that, I mean addictions that ruin lives, you know, where you're looking at people who are often living on the street, addicted to class A drugs. You know, these people did not want their life to end up like that. And I think, just as an aside, that there is something about the way that society and even the medical profession think about people with addictions. These people are not there by choice. I think we have to remember this. With the exception of people who are addicted to opiate analgesia, because they had it prescribed for something like a knee operation, almost every other addicted person has a background of trauma, some sort of abuse or neglect or some huge traumatic experience. And that has led to emotional pain and suffering and often feelings of shame. And then that leads to a sense of needing to escape. It's not the same thing, and it's not on the topic of addictions, but people who self-harm and cut themselves, when you ask them how they feel when they do it, it's a release, it's an escape. And once the addiction is in place, you know, and you're thinking back about those reward and anti-reward systems, it's too late, because it's a difficult, repetitive cycle to get out of. And depending on the substance we're talking about, the medical approach is really all about the substance and trying to wean someone off it. It's interesting. Some addictions are legal, aren't they? So alcohol is not illegal. Cigarettes are not illegal, but they both kill. They can kill. You can drink yourself to death. You can, you know, smoke 100 cigarettes a day and massively increase your risk of dying of lung cancer or heart disease, which in a way is ridiculous, because other addictions, you know, the drugs that are illegal, also kill. But, you know, the people who are using those drugs, again, because of their social circumstances often, are often, you know, involved in criminality and put in prison. And it's hard to come off those drugs unless someone deals with their emotional trauma. A very common scenario is, and I've seen this so many times in my career, where someone is an addict, doesn't matter what the addiction is, but some sort of substance, and they think they've beaten it, and they say, look, you know, I've definitely beaten it this time. I've been completely sober for 9 months, and they go back to their addiction. And that's because they haven't actually healed the emotional trauma. That's the root of the root, if you like. Now, just sort of thinking of a more everyday example. So not all of us end up with addictions because of pain, emotional pain. And this sort of trauma, pain, addiction cycle, the addiction can also be a behavior. For example, obsessively checking things, or working too hard, or anger, for example, what you might call maladaptive behaviors. And these behaviors, they sort of serve us a purpose in a particular time in our life. It's really quite a difficult thing, unless you're very mindful and doing some sort of self-reflection or inner work. You often don't spot it in yourself because it's just the way that you roll. Other people might see it, but it's often something you have to sort of stop and check yourself when you think that you're behaving in a certain way that you can't explain, or you notice a habit and you think, hang on, where's that come from? Why am I doing that? So I heard a heartbreaking story not that long ago, actually, through someone I know. It's a true story. And this person, they had a sibling who died of starvation in living memory. And so this person has really strong views on food waste. Of course, they would. And not that they did, but you can imagine if you really extrapolate or exaggerate that behavior, that it could become quite extreme, where, you know, you're in a restaurant or something and someone leaves something on their plate and you take umbrage with that. Completely understandable in that context I've just described. But, you know, when it comes to addictions or addictive behaviours, they are simply repetitive behaviours that serve a purpose. But the difficulty with substance abuse is that those substances also have a dramatic effect on those very pathways in our brain and in our body, in terms of hormones and neurotransmitters and, you know, adrenaline, in terms of what it does to our sympathetic nervous system and the like. So they do actually offer a temporary kind of relief from the pain, in inverted commas. And of course, when you have a come down and you're no longer feeling the effects of the drug or the alcohol, you just want more.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now, when it comes to addictions and addiction therapies, there are so many methodologies, aren't there? There are clinics that offer rehab and talking therapies and essentially get people dry. You know, they wean them down off whatever substance it is. There's also this idea of cold turkey. And many years ago, I read a book by Alan Carr. It was called The Easy Way to Stop Smoking. Still a brilliant book. And he had a follow-up book called The Only Way to Stop Smoking Permanently. And I was really fascinated by his approach, because smoking is something that kills you slowly. And I don't know any smoker that, you know, would think of themselves as still smoking in 5 years' time. Everyone thinks they're going to stop, but so often they just don't. But in his second book, there's a really interesting passage, and it was about a place in Thailand that gets people off heroin. And initially it was people only from Thailand, but, you know, they eventually got visitors from all over the world, people who were addicted to heroin. And how it works is that they're basically given this herbal sort of mixture mixed with water to drink, and they're told that they're going to be very sick. But there's no kind of step down on the heroin. You don't replace it with, say, methadone, which is what we tend to do here. And sure enough, the addicts vomit and they feel terrible for a while. But then once the drug is out of their system, after a few days, they start to feel better. And of course, the program also involves a lot of spiritual input. Now, the reason I mention Alan Carr is with his smoking method, he claims that he could get anyone off any addictive substance within 7 days without having to replace it with something. So even with smoking, there's this concept of replacement, you know, nicotine replacement therapy patches or inhalators. And it's an interesting argument, because addiction experts disagree vehemently about which approach is better. Personally, I think a lot of it's to do with the information that you're given. You know, the people who were addicted to heroin were told that they would be sick and they would feel ill. So they sort of expected that. But of course, there are dangers with just going cold turkey on certain substances, because you can really get terrible withdrawal symptoms. What's my bottom line? Well, my bottom line is, you know, in the words of Dr. Gabor Mate, don't ask why the addiction, ask why the pain. And that is really the key with addictions. Why the pain? Because the addiction is a symptom of pain and trying to cope with it. What people who suffer with addictions need more than anything is compassion and not judgment. And that alone goes such a long way, I think, in helping. And if you're interested in more about this, obviously I always post links in the show notes, which gives you a bit more of a deep dive around some of the things I've mentioned in the episode. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I hope that expanded your mind a little bit around addictions in terms of what you thought they might have been and what your views on it are now. Do let me know on socials, and also keep the suggestions coming in. Thank you so much again. And I'm really loving the feedback. If you are up to it, please leave me a rating. Please tell your friends and family about the podcast. It's bite-sized. I try and keep it really short and relevant. And thank you again for listening. Until next time, do stay well. Look after yourself. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.